And God's got some great things in store. Hallelujah. How many believe that every time you come to church that God wants to do something? In you, to you, or through you? And if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Every month we give a theme. The Lord leads us as to what our theme will be. And for this month, He laid it on my heart to talk about being a strong finisher or finishing well. How many know it's not where you start the race that matters, but it's how you finish? Amen? And God wants each and every one of you to finish with strength the race that He set each one of you before. Did you know that each one of you have a race, a purpose, a destiny, an assignment on this earth? Say, I have an assignment that's been given to me by God. And I will do everything within me to fulfill that assignment, to run my race, and to finish strong. Hallelujah. God wants you to finish strong. All right? And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." You know what it's like to run in a race and have the fans cheer your name and shout and woohoo? Amen? Does that inspire you? When someone is cheering you on to do something, saying, "You can do it, you can make it, go for it, I'm with you, I'm there to help you," that's encouraging. Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are the greatest encouragers that you'll ever have. But we also have a grandstand in heaven, a cloud of witnesses: Daniel, Esther, Ruth, Job, Paul, Peter, Matthew, Luke, Mary. They're cheering you on. They're saying, "You can do it. We did it, and you can too." And they're saying, "Come on, come on, come on. Finish your race. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't look to the right." I guess that doesn't excite anybody. I'm going to have to get some pom-poms out. No. Listen, you got 10 seconds to get excited about Jesus. I don't have to work you up. Man, if I have to work you up, you're in sadder shape than what I thought. We should not have to be worked up about how good God is. God is good. And so we have this race that God had already set before us. And we've been talking about qualities to finish well. We've been talking about, you know, when you're in a race, you got to fix your eyes on the prize. All right? What's the prize in your race? Anybody know what the prize is that you need to fix your eyes on? Come on. Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the prize. No matter what you do in life, whether you work in a factory, in a school, in an office, at home, your goal is to be like Jesus. You're supposed to act like Him, talk like Him, walk like Him, imitate Him, follow Him. Amen? Is that true? We're supposed to follow Jesus. And He is the ultimate prize in our life. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to get into a story here in just a minute about someone who ran his race and he didn't quit. And I'm going to read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18, says, but we all, everybody say we all. That includes everybody, doesn't it? If you're from the South, you say ye all or y'all. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, every birthday I have, I tell people I go from glory to glory. Amen? 40 was glorious, and I got more glory now that I'm 41. When 42 comes along, there's going to be more glory. When I'm 50, there's going to be more glory. It could be for you too. What does that say? We are changed into what kind of image? The same image. Everybody say the same. Well, if you have something that's the same, can you tell them apart? They look alike, they act alike, they talk alike, they're the same. Well, that is our ultimate goal in life, is to be like Jesus, is to allow His Holy Spirit to change us, to transform us, to be like Him. He's the firstborn of many brethren, right? He wants many brothers and sisters to follow Him in the new birth experience. God wants you born again, right? He said, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. So being born again, that's the starting point of your race. That's where the race begins, when you get born again. And God is so good. If you have your Bibles now, I'd like you to go to the book of Nehemiah. A short little guy with a big book. Nehemiah. I want you to go to Nehemiah for a minute. I want to encourage you today about some people who finished strong, who ended up in a good way, who had a good testimony at the end of their life. Amen? To finish strong means you walk with God at the end of your life. You contribute to God on a high level, and you fulfill what God wants you to do. All right? I'm going to say that again. You walk with God at the end of your life. Now, wouldn't it be easier to start walking with Him now instead of waiting till the end? Amen? Well, someone said about a church, you're nothing but a holy roller. And the holy roller replied, I'd rather roll into heaven than slide into hell. Are you here today or have you gone home? Nehemiah, let's read a little bit in Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 3. And he was inquiring of how Jerusalem was, because there was a group of people who escaped the exile, and they came back and were giving him word about the condition of the city. Verse 3 said, the remnant there, in the province who escaped the exile are in great trouble and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its fortified gates are destroyed by fire. I want you to know that Nehemiah just intersected his race. His race was set before him in the form of broken walls and burned gates. See, sometimes God will set something before you to give you an opportunity to obey and to step in to your brilliance. How many want to step into your brilliance? You know why fish don't fly? Because they're born to swim. You put a fish in the air, and he's going to fall. But you put him in the water, and you'll see his brilliance. See, when you get him in the right environment and the right atmosphere, the brilliance of you will come out. And when God meets the right opportunity with you, your brilliance will shine. Your gifts will come to the surface, and you'll be like, woo, I like that. So this was Nehemiah's opportunity. He had just intersected with the race that was set before him. So what does he do? When I heard this, I sat down and wept and mourned for days and fasted and prayed constantly before the God of heaven. See? He began, when you know you're on the right race, your emotions will be invoked. Whatever makes you angry, whatever you're passionate about, whatever makes you sad, that's probably something you're called to correct or to solve. And what did he do? See, you can do one of two things when you meet an opportunity. You can accept it or reject it. You can complain or pray. You can whine or cry out. And Nehemiah chose to cry out. He wept. He was sad, but he didn't stop there. He began to pray. He began to intercede. He began to cry out to God because he didn't know, but God had put something in Nehemiah's heart that he was to rebuild those walls. God intersected Nehemiah with his race and his purpose. He began to confess the sins of Israel and himself. You know, a true intercessor will always include himself in everybody's sin. He didn't say, Israel sinned against you. He said, we have sinned against you. Okay? And at this time in Nehemiah's life, he was a cupbearer. Say, he was a waiter. He was a waiter for the king, which is pretty good, but nonetheless, he was a waiter. All I'm doing is waiting on tables. What can I do? Just be faithful and wait for the opportunity to come. Okay? So while he's serving the king notices that Nehemiah is sad. And the king comments in chapter 2, he said, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had been sad before in his presence. So the king said to me, why do you look sad since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of the heart. Then I was very much afraid. Uh-oh. I don't know if the king likes unhappy people to serve him wine. But he was sad. And the king notices it. Look what happens. And said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should I not be sad? Sad face, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchers lie waste, and its fortified gates are consumed by fire. The king said to me, what do you ask? Do you realize that when you begin to run your race, you can ask the king whatever you need to run that race, and he'll give it to you? God will give you the equipment that you need to run your race, to finish your course. And sometimes us and our race just kind of intersect. Ooh, look at this opportunity. Notice Nehemiah didn't say, what are you going to do about it? Or Nehemiah didn't say, what are you going to do about it? Sometimes you got to do something about it. And what you do will determine what God will do. Nehemiah prayed, what happened? Because he prayed to the Lord, God gave him favor with the king. What did the king do? I need lumber, and I need safe passage through the king's territories. The king gave him whatever he asked for. Do you realize that God will give you whatever you need on your race, to run your race successfully, to finish strong? But you got to turn your heart to him. Because do you realize you cannot do your race without him? Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. Imagine that, Jesus. I can do nothing of myself. So why do we try to do it? Oh, I can do it. I don't need your help. I can do it. And there, the whole while, the greatest resource available, God, is waiting to help you, and you're saying, I can do it. No. Let him help you. Amen? Let people help you in your race. Let people help you through your struggle. By not letting people help you, that's kind of a form of pride. Because it's all about I. Now, go down to verse 10. Are you going to encounter struggles on your race? Are you just going to be racing? Oh, this race is fun. There's no struggles, no obstacles. I'm just running my race. I wish it were like that, wasn't it? Don't you? Notice. Verse 10. When Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. I can't believe he wants to rebuild that wall. I can't believe he wants to repair that city. I can't believe he wants to do something good. You ever have anybody get upset when you want to do something good? Huh? Are you here today? I probably got less sleep than anybody, and I'm up here going. Sanballat was upset because it was in the heart of a man. You know, that same spirit is still against Israel today. Anytime anybody wants to do something good to God's people, the devil wants to stand up and oppose it and resist it and stop it. Anytime God wants to bless one of his children, you can rest assured that some form of the enemy will be there to oppose it, to interfere, to try to stop it. But I'll tell you what, we've got victory over the enemy. The enemy cannot steal your joy unless you let him. Be determined that you're going to keep your joy. And Nehemiah went on a secret mission. You know, sometimes you got to check things out without letting anybody know. He went to the city at night. He checked out the wall. He took the specs of the wall. He walked around the wall. He was gaining insight and wisdom as to develop a strategy on how to run this race. He took time to investigate. He didn't just rush in there. Okay, he didn't show up the next day with his shovel and his hammer and say, okay, let's build. Although that's great that you have that zeal, but it takes wisdom too. When I was a young Christian, I had a lot of zeal and not a lot of wisdom. Anybody ever been there? You're so zealous, but you have no wisdom. I did that. Do you realize? One time over Christmas, when my brother-in-law and sister were visiting from a foreign country, I went with my Jewish friend snowmobiling. Because my Jewish friend, he didn't celebrate Christmas. That was not wise. I didn't have any wisdom. I had a lot of zeal, but not a lot of wisdom. So when Nehemiah investigated the walls, he did it at night, he was gaining wisdom. Sometimes you got to be in the secret place and you got to let God show you how. You got to let God show you how. You got to let God lead you and guide you. Is this helping someone today? So he went there at night. All right? And go down to verse 17. The rulers didn't know what he was doing. Then I said unto them, you see the distress that we are in? How Jerusalem lies waste and the gates thereof are burned with fire? Come and let us build up the wall. He went and gathered help. He said, look, this race is a big race. I need a pit crew. I need help. I need someone to hand me the water. I need some help. You got to gather the right help around you to run your race. It's a relay marathon. In a relay, there's not just one person. There's at least four. You got some good people on your team? Husbands and wives, you make the best team. But if you're not in agreement on things of life, a marriage was not to be designed his and her. They were to be designed as one. So if you still are in the his and her and you're married, you're not, you don't have God's blessing. And I will move on. That's all I have to say about that. Look at verse 18. Then I told them, the hand of my God, which was good upon me. What was he doing? He was testifying about God's goodness. As also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands. See, Nehemiah took the lead role and he inspired them because he pointed his people to God. He talked about God's goodness. He magnified God. And the people said, let's build. They strengthened their hands. In other words, they got ready. They said, whoo, this looks good. I'm going to get involved in this. Now look at verse 19. But when Sanballat, whenever I read his name, it looks like a hornet. He's like a poisonous hornet with a stinger. I know something about hornets. I was stung by them and passed out a couple years ago. They were running a sting operation on me. Notice what he did. They laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Same action that Goliath did to Israel. Taunting, intimidating, trying to stop. See, here's what the devil does. He comes in with pressure, fear, and intimidation. And he squeezes. He's like a python. You know what a python? Every time you exhale, they squeeze tighter and tighter until you can't breathe anymore. And see, Satan tries to, he gets in and he tries to squeeze. He puts the squeeze hold on you. He tries to get you by yourself. He tries to get you alone and he squeezes you and squeezes you. And that pressure, fear, and intimidation, it begins to work on you because it's designed for you to quit. It's designed for you to give up the race. It's designed to stop you. Look at verse 20. Then answered I them. Did you know that you could answer your fear? Some people give it the wrong answer. Some people say, fear, have your way. I'm so afraid, I'm so afraid, I'm so afraid. You just gave fear permission to operate in your life. If you're afraid, don't say it. He answered them. What did he say? The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no portion, no right, no memorial in Jerusalem. Here, his enemy is taunting him, despising him, making fun of him. But God, Nehemiah's got an answer. You've got to answer your fears. When fear tries to come upon you, talk about how big God is and see if fear will stick around. Who's greater, God or fear? My Bible says that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So you've got the greater one on the inside of you, so you have the ability to speak to your opposition. You've got to speak to your opposition. That's how you win the battle. That's how you overcome the obstacle. That's how you become a strong finisher. And, you know, there were times that Sanballat, he even had a secret plot to kill Nehemiah. All right? But I want to show you something. I'm not going to go into all the details about Nehemiah because that would take the whole time. I want to show you something. Go down to chapter 6. You ready to shout? You ready to shout? We got a couple people that are ready. Now, look at this. Nehemiah chapter 6. Verse 19. I'm sorry. Verse 15. Sanballat even hired a prophet to propagate false prophecy to Nehemiah. But look at verse 15. So the wall was finished in 25th day of the month in 52 days. They finished, they had been working on this project for years. And it was a struggle. And the people who did not go in the exile, who were still living there, they were trying to do their best. They were trying to keep, but they weren't getting through. They needed someone to come along and pick up the baton and to run their race. And Nehemiah, he was the last leg of the race. He took the baton. He said, I'm going to bring it home. And in 52 days, now they had to build with a weapon in one hand and a tool in the other hand. They had to wear their swords. The Bible says that Nehemiah didn't change his clothes for days. Pleasant environment. And the Bible also brings out that this family worked next to this family, that worked next to this family, that worked next to this family, that worked. Are you getting the picture? We're a church. We got to work together. We got to work side by side. This is a group race. We've got several runners in this relay race. And there are times that we got to take the baton and pass it on to this one, pass it on to this one, pass it on to this one, so that they can run their part. God just wants you to run your part. 52 days later, what happened? The walls were finished. In the midst of opposition, obstacles, attacks, deceit, trying to stop, trying to intimidate. Guess what? There ain't no stopping me now. Say that. Say, there ain't no stopping me now. Just don't tell your English teacher. But that's the whole point. He finished. He finished strong. Go with me to the last chapter of Nehemiah. I want you to see something. This is powerful. Look at how he ends his letter. Last chapter, chapter 13, verse 31. And for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits, remember me, O my God, for good. Isn't that the testimony of his life? When he came in contact with his race, which was rebuilding the wall, he always cried out to God for his goodness. Remember me. What a way to finish. Remember me, oh my God, for good. Everybody say, for good. All right. I want you to go to the New Testament. And go with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. So, you know, Nehemiah was willing to do something. In his case, it was to build the wall. And he didn't do it alone, did he? He recruited help. And can you imagine Nehemiah trying to build the wall himself? Trying to fight, trying to build, trying to bring bricks, trying to bring mortar by himself? So guess what? It takes all of us doing our part. Mark chapter 12, and there's a story here in verse 41. And it says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury." All right, let me just give you a picture. Can I give you a picture? All right. Jesus is in church. And here's Jesus. He's sitting by the treasury. Now, would that intimidate you a little bit? You're like, I ain't going there. Pastor's right there. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. I got my eyes on you. How free do you think that would make you? Don't even ask that question, or don't even answer that question. So Jesus was looking as the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Woo, right on. The rich cast in much. Well, they had a lot. And there came a certain poor widow. She threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said, the significance in what this woman did, you don't think, well, it's only two mites, it's only a couple pennies. It got the attention of Jesus. Because Jesus looks beyond the gift, he looks at the heart. He looks at the motive. Why do you do what you do? Is it for a show? Verily, I say unto you that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. You talk about a strong finish. What did she do? For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she, out of her want, did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, do you think that if Jesus took notice of this, that he had a blessing in mind for her? You talk about finishing strong. She gave all she had. Can you say at the end of your life, I gave all that I had? I did all that I could? I left it all on the altar. I gave it all. Say this, say, I gave it all. Did Jesus give it all? Was there one drop of blood left in his body? Was there water left in his body? Was there anything else that Jesus could have given for our salvation? No, he gave it all. That's what you call finishing strong. When you give your all, you give your best, you do your very best in the littlest things. Because Jesus said, if you're faithful in what? The little, I'll make you ruler over much. If you don't handle the faithful good, you think he's going to give you more? Huh? Are you here? Do you think he's going to give you more? So you got to do the best with what you have. And you got to be willing. See, to finish strong means, whoo, you know, I left it all on the field. I left it all on the court. I left it all on the ice. I left it all in that service. I do my very best to give my best every time. I pray, I study, I read, I listen. And I say, Lord, what do you want to say to the people today? And sometimes he doesn't tell me till, you know, I'm a timekeeper. I say, Lord, you're cutting it close. He says, don't worry about it. He's eternal. He's always on time. Jesus took notice of how this woman gave all out of her need. Sounds like the woman, the widow of Zarephath. What do you have left? I have a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. Enough to feed her and her son. We're going to celebrate our last meal. We're going to go to IHOP and have a pancake dinner. That's all that I have. Then Elijah comes along. God already told him that he would have a widow prepared to support him. And all this widow has, everybody hold out your hands. How much do you think, if I was to put some flour in your hand and a little bit of, how much do you think that would, you know, how far do you think that would go? All right? So this woman wanted to finish, you can put your hands down. Elijah comes along and he gets to the gate of the city and he sees this woman gathering sticks and he says, bring me some water. Man, who's this guy? Doesn't even say please. His mama never taught him no manners. And he said, and as you're going, bring me a cake. She said, you know, I only have enough for me and my son, and we're going to make our last meal, and we're going to die. Because it was in the midst of a famine. There wasn't any more flour in the field. There wasn't any more grain. There wasn't anything left. But she finished strong. What did she do? She sowed. He said, make me a cake first. And you and your son and I will eat. But see, right, he painted a picture for her of how to finish strong. In other words, with words, he showed her the finish line. She had a picture of it in her mind because she gave him the cake first. What happened? Her and him and her son ate for many days, many days. You talk about a strong finish. What else could she have to give? She gave it all. Giving your all is how you finish strong. How about the lady who came when Jesus was at dinner and she came and she had her tears? That's all she had was her tears. She came and wept over his feet, washed his feet with her tears, and dried it with her hair. What did Jesus say about that woman? Or no, that was the alabaster box. She gave about a year's salary. The alabaster box was worth about a year's salary. And she broke it and put it on Jesus. He said, what this woman did will not be taken away from her, but it will be talked about forever. We're still talking about what she did. You talk about a strong finish. But too many times, we allow the sand ballots, the hornets, to come in and take us off course of our life. Take us off course of our destiny. But I've got an answer for the hornets. You got to lay them aside. The weight and the sin that does so easily trip you up, you have to lay it aside. That means you've got to stop doing what's wrong and start doing what's right. Otherwise, you will not finish strong. Those who do wrong do not finish strong. Those who do right leave the others out of sight. Go to Matthew chapter 25. I'm almost finished. You can say amen. Matthew 25, verse 11. Well, let's go back to verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. Okay? They're on the right track. They're going to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Do you think foolish people are going to finish strong? Not unless they become wise. How do you become wise? You don't reject instruction. You receive correction. You be willing to change your ways. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They did not take time to prepare for what was coming next. They had the lamps. Oh, look at this beautiful lamp. Wow, that's a beautiful lamp. Do you have anything in it? No. Beauty on the outside, you better have what's on the inside beautiful. Because do you know that if you're ugly on the inside, no matter how good looking you are on the outside, that ugliness will come out? If you've got an ugly heart, an ugly attitude, that will come out. You can polish the lamp as much as you want, but if there's nothing in the lamp, if there's nothing within, if there's no quality of character within, then when it comes time to light the fire, you're not going to have any fuel. Can you have a fire without fuel? Huh? No. You've got to have the fuel. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They took the time to get filled. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh! Go out to meet him." That was the whole goal, right? Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Some went through the motions. They didn't have any oil, but they're trimming their lamps. What's the sense of trimming your lamps if you don't have any oil to burn? You're beautifying. That's like a Pharisee. They look good on the outside, but Jesus said, "You're full of dead men's bones." The Pharisees watched the outside of the cup, but they didn't bother to consider what was inside. You're not going to finish strong. My point in this story is the 5 wise, 5 foolish, the 5 wise finished strong. The foolish said unto the wise, "Give us your oil." So many people want you to do it for them instead of them doing it for themselves. Do this for me. Pray for me. Well, you ought to be praying for other people by now. You've had 350 prayers for you. How many prayers have you given to others? Come on. People want them to do it for you. Give us your oil. Get your own oil. It's not like they didn't have time to get oil. Right? They had the time. There was a time before the bridegroom came where they could have gotten oil. Well, but the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." Why didn't they buy before? And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready... Say, they that were ready. Well, what does it take to get ready? It takes some preparation. It takes some step at a time. You got to get ready. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to meet with Jesus as judge? Are you ready to stand at the judgment seat of Christ? Are you ready? Can you confidently say, I've done all that you told me to do? Right now, can you say, I've done all that you told me to do? You know the answer to that question. If you haven't, then you got to make some changes in your life. Right now. Who are you living for? You? Sorry, but you're not going to be the judge. You got to live your life for God. As much as Jesus invested his life in you, you need to invest your life in him. Man, Pastor, you need to get some more sleep. You're kind of heavy, man. What happened? The ones who finished well, the door was open to, but the ones who didn't finish well, the door was shut. Did you know that there is an opportunity that God gives his people to repent, to change? Oh, his mercies are new every morning. But sometimes there comes a time when the door to those mercies are shut. It was shut for Judas. 3 years he lived with Jesus, walked with him, ministered with him, handled his finances, refused to change. Then at the Last Supper, Jesus leaned and said, what you do, do quickly. His time was up. He hadn't changed in 3 years. What happened? He was deceived. He didn't finish well. He hung himself. That's not finishing well. Too many people hang themselves by not doing what the Lord has told them to do. I just want to encourage you. You have all that you need to do to be all that God wants you to be. Just be that. Be what God wants you to be. Do what he wants you to do. He'll never ask you for what you don't have. He'll never tell you to do something that you're not able to do. You can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Isn't that beautiful? You can do it because he gives you his strength to do it. So you're not doing it on your own strength. You're doing it by faith in his strength. You can go on with life because he's strengthening you. Yes, it's tough. Yes, this happened. That happened. This happened over here. This happened up here. And go through. You can make it. You can finish strong. Just stick with the Lord. Keep on keeping on. Be determined in your heart that you're going to finish your life. You're going to end your life well, serving God, walking with him, doing what he wants you to do. Because there's nothing else that will matter when you stand before him. Nothing. Nothing else is going to matter. We have to be about the Father's business. What are we waiting for? For God to do it for you? He's already done it. He's already given you his son. He's already shed his blood. He already rose from the dead. There's nothing more that he's going to do. He's given you his word, his Holy Spirit. He's called you. He's given you help. He loves you. He's forgiven you. So what are we waiting for? Well, I'm waiting for my ship. If your ship doesn't come in, swim out and get it. Well, that's too hard. Well, that's the problem. You think it's all easy. It's not easy sometimes. You think the cross was easy? You think the thorns felt good? But you know what? There was joy on the other side. He was able to go through the cross for the joy that was over here. So you can go through what you're going through because there's joy over here. Weeping may endure for a night, but in the morning, God's delivered you joy. Like the milkman, it's the joy man. He gives you containers of joy. Here's the joy. You open up the door and there's joy on your porch. Woo! Joy in the morning. Hallelujah. Man, I had a rough night, but there's joy in the morning. Joy. And it doesn't say when the joy leaves. It just says that the joy arrives. Weeping endures only for a night. But he says joy comes. He doesn't say when joy leaves. Your joy is him. And when he gives you joy from heaven, the world can't take it away. There's no cat in the world that can drink your joy milk. And I don't even know how I got on all that, but the Lord really impressed that there were some little things, giving two mites, putting oil in your lamp. See, sometimes we think of a strong finish as a big finish, but you know, it's the little things that we do. Just keep doing the little things. Do the little thing. Do the little thing. One step at a time. Every day, obey. Every day, obey. Every day. Just one step at a time. One step at a time. One step at a time. And receive the correction along the way, the instruction, the reproof. I can't help but God told me to reprove, rebuke, and exhort, like with all long suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Sometimes I have to rebuke. I'm called to rebuke. Instead of, have you hugged your kids today? Have you rebuked your kids today? Just kidding. Why don't you stand up with me? I'm finished. Everybody here today has a race to run. John the Baptist was saved, was filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb, and Moses was 80 when he started to deliver the people. So that pretty much covers us all, doesn't it? From in the womb to 80. So age is not a factor why you can't do what God's called you to do. Just do the little things that he says to do. That's all. Just do the little things and you'll finish strong. Keep doing the little things. Get in the habit of doing the little things, being quick to obey. Father, we just give you thanks and praise for your word and the power of your Holy Spirit today. I believe that you are drawing some people to yourself today, Father. Lord, the Bible says that you can't come unless you're drawn. And the Lord has good things planned for you. He has good works that he prepared beforehand for you to do. He preordained and predestined you. He set a race before you. He wrote a book about you. It's already written, by the way. Whether or not you make it a bestseller, that's up to you. But the book has already been written about you. And if you're here today and you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, that's the beginning of your race. I'd like to introduce you to my friend. I'd like to have you invite Jesus to come into your heart, to be Lord of your life, to be the wind behind your sails. If you've never made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity. Is there anybody here that you need to make Jesus your Lord and Savior? And maybe there's some of you, you've been going through some things, you've experienced God's goodness, but you know what? You've been through some things, and some of those things are tough. Maybe you just need prayer. I just want to open up the altar. If you just need prayer for your body, prayer for anything in your life, I just want to pray for you. Man, we believe in the power of prayer. And it's not me. It's the anointing. It's Jesus. You know, I'm just a vessel. I just let him flow through me. If you just need prayer, I just want you to come up right now. Because today, you're going to get everything you need to finish strong. To finish well, to make it through to the end. God wants you to make it through. He wants you to overcome. Amen? If you're here right now, if that applies to you, don't hesitate, don't delay, come up right now, and I just want to pray for you. There's an anointing here. Amen? The anointing is one that destroys yokes and removes the burdens. It's the anointing, it's the power of God, it's the glory of God. Hallelujah. Just begin to pray right now. Begin to pray. Oh, Father, we just give you thanks and praise for this day. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for your precious holy name. I think you ought to play that God is good song. God is good all the time. Let's celebrate the goodness of God. Amen? Let's celebrate the goodness of God. Some of you just might need to act like you're free. The Lord made you free. You just need to act like you're free. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. And if you feel like swinging your partner round and round, go for it. Just celebrate God's goodness. You got it ready? Go ahead.
God is good.
Hallelujah. Let's just praise the Lord for a minute.
And all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
Today, tomorrow, next week, a year from now, God is good.
All the time.
Hallelujah. Why don't you come up and sing that, Mike and Elliot? Let's just praise the Lord. We got to celebrate God's goodness. God's a good God. You got to celebrate His goodness. Hallelujah.
All the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine.
God is good.
Yes, He is.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
Here we go.
God is good. All the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good. All the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good.
Yes.
God is good all the time.
That's right.
If you're walking through the valley and there are shadows all around, do not fear. He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you or forsake you, and His word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time.
Yes, He is.
We were sinners and so unworthy, still for us He chose to die. He filled us with His Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that His love is everlasting and His mercy, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song. Shine. God is good. God is good all the time.
Yes, He is.
Though I may not understand all the plans You have for me, my life is in Your hands, and through the eyes of faith I can clearly see that God is good all the time. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time.
For me, He set me free. He
God
gave
is good.
Me. Hallelujah!
All the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good. God is good.
He's so good.
He's so good. God is good.
The Lord just said the real easy way to be a strong finisher is testify how good God is in the midst of your trouble. Testify how good. Amen. Father, bless these people today. Thank you, Lord, for their time and their effort and their lives. Lord, cause them to be a blessing to others. Rest your mantle and anointing upon them. Help them to serve. And Lord, just live through them mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful, fantastic, outstanding, excellent day.